March 18, 2021, it's Wofford Pedro Show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Watt for Peter Rochelle, happy Thursday. Hope everyone had good St. Patrick Day. Started the show off in a sentimental mood, if I can talk. John Coltrane with Duke Ellington. And then the oddly tempered clavier. I fuck up everyone's language. I'm sorry. Andrea Pinsato, my guest. Welcome aboard, Andrea.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hello. Of course. Let's talk about your journey through music. What, please, Andrea, your earliest musical memory.
My earliest musical memory. Well, I was a girl, you know, like, I don't know, 5 or 6. Let's say I always sang a lot. I guess I always, you know, in kindergarten, I liked my music class. But then I had a friend who started piano lessons, and she showed me some scores, I don't know, some music, and I got fascinated with, I still remember, honestly, like the scores, I don't know what it was. I think it was just some technique. So I went to my mom and I said, Mom, I want piano lessons. And this is how it all started.
Oh, wow. Okay. And this was Argentina?
Yes, this was in Argentina. We lived in a small town called Campana, which is like 1 hour northwest from Buenos Aires.
Okay, big town. I got to play there once with the Stooges.
Oh my God.
Now, this piano, it was at your friend's house.
Yeah, actually, she didn't even have a piano. My grandma had a piano in her house because my mom took lessons as a girl.
Okay.
But she didn't like it. And I remember when, you know, when I asked for lessons, she said, are you sure you're going to like it? And I said, yes. So she did it. You know, she sent me to piano lessons. And yeah. And then eventually at the beginning, I remember we lived in a small apartment and we didn't have a piano. But then the family grew bigger and we moved to a bigger house. And then they brought my mom's piano, you know, the piano from my grandma's house.
Right. So until then, you were practicing at your grandmother's?
No, my teacher had like a piano for practice. Ah. I could go there to practice.
And what about school? Were you in the choir or the band or?
Well, no, no. The truth is music was very simple. They didn't do much. So it was basically singing. And I sang, but even later on when there was a choir and everything, I didn't want to. It was something always quite like a personal thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first record you bought with your own money?
Well, this is embarrassing.
It's a lot from Pedro Show. There's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers.
No, I know. I'm joking. I don't know if it was my own money, but there was a lot of music at home. We did listen to a lot of things. But I was as a girl, really, as a small girl, we had a record from Disney, I guess it was. And I think it was, how is it in English? Sleeping Beauty.
Okay.
The one with the seven dwarfs. So, and I remember that it came with a book that I could read along.
Well, the one with the seven dwarfs, that's actually Snow White.
Yeah, exactly. So, Snow White, that one.
they're kind of, all kind of generic.
So, and I remember listening to that with fascination. And there was a bell when I had to turn the page. So this is probably like the earliest record attachment.
Okay. And
then later on, but that was really small, sure. I don't know, first grade, second grade. And then later, there were many things at home. My mom had records by the Beatles that I liked. Then I fell totally in love with The Sound of Music, the musicals. Then later on, actually, I was joking with a friend. I'm really saying dirty secrets. I had a total period of love with the Carpenters.
Carpenters?
Yes.
They were from Southern California here,
whatever. Like, whatever was in my hand. I rarely bought records for me. I have one brother who is into music, and all this, he was the one buying the records.
Okay.
And the truth is, till today, I like everything. It's rare the thing I dislike.
Oh, that's great. Open mind. Yeah. What was the first gig you went and saw?
What we call Rock Nacional, National Rock in Argentina.
That was the first show, like live music you saw?
Yes. We had... it was, I think it was Baglietto, which nobody knows here. So, because, in Argentina, when you finish high school, there is a trip. I don't know if they still do it now. And I live in Campana, and we usually did a trip to go to the Andes. And that was when I saw snow for the first time. And in order to go that, we have to collect money. So we organized shows. We invited people. And I think that was the very first live show that I went. It was Juan Carlos Baglietto, who is somebody from the National Rock. And then later on, I still went to, again, what we call Rock Nacional, like Serú Girán, which is a rock group from Argentina. Actually, there is now in Netflix a very good documentary, Break It All, about Latin American rock.
Ah, great.
Which is worth, you know, it brought me like many nostalgic moments.
Sure. Now, with your piano playing, you were just alone. You weren't playing.
Yeah, that was on the side for me.
Yeah, okay.
And so doing all that, and I never, ever combined the two things.
Yeah, you never, okay, you never got into a band, right?
No, not at all, not at all. So, and then later, when I went to college,
I
was exposed to what was called, I don't know, like avant-garde or, you know, last century they called it contemporary music, like experimental music.
Yeah.
I don't know, Penderecki, Cage, Stockhausen and all that. And I fell totally, immediately in love with all that. So I stopped listening to rock or to everything. I just went, let's say, I was totally geared towards that for years, actually.
And did you stop playing the piano?
No, okay. I always continued.
Okay.
But I never, you know, I was never like oriented towards piano as piano performance. I didn't do piano performance in college.
Sure.
I did first music education and then choir conducting and then composition. I was sort of honestly totally lost. I knew I liked music, but I never ever. For me, it's very strange that I perform and that I do all these things. I never ever ever thought that that life was going to be like this. Honestly,
that's the way life is. Yeah, I want to play right here.
Yep. I'm
Thank you. too much for me. Gravity always brings me to your shoulder. That little weapon hidden in your chest, last place any sane man would have guessed. That little weapon hidden in your chest will never give me any
Nick,
Watt for Pedro Show, Andrea Pensado with Right Here. Then Pseudo Pseudo with Nikita Boy. That's Kamilski, maybe 25 years ago. Barry Berko Band, Probiotic Colonization, Pale Eight, and that's the last of his big, last piece of this big, last part of this big piece he did. Get together one. Pale Angels, brand new. With Thorn, Nick Hudson, brand new Voyeurs Who Offer Nothing, Obama's Prendum with Squirrel Jam, and finally, Andrea Pensado with Trust. So when did you like start using electronic instruments?
Well, this was in Poland. I started in Argentina, and then in the late 80s, I moved to Poland, and I lived there for 10 years. So I did first choir conducting and then composition. And there I started introducing live electronics to compose music. So I started working with musicians who could improvise. I still didn't see myself at all as a performer. So I would process them live, but not on stage. I was, you know, behind the mixer.
Okay.
And I would, you know, prepare things like this. And then I started doing, you know, like composed pieces with a tape. Okay. Something that there was no interaction. It went along. And then more and more. And then for 10 years, I worked in a duo where it was interactive. It was, there were visuals and sound. So the other person was responsible for the visuals and I did the sound, and everything was real time. There was interaction between the images and the sound. And by then, little by little, I stopped composing, like, conventionally. Because before, I just composed all style in front of a desk with, you know, paper.
Right, manuscript.
Exactly. And then, little by little, I did more and more electronics. And eventually, I started performing myself. And today, I don't do anything. I stopped composing conventionally, I would say, at the beginning of the 2000s.
So for 20 years. Because I'm interested in that. You know, composing for electronic music, the old way of doing, like, you know, violins and pianos and stuff, maybe it doesn't fit. It doesn't work.
Let's say, I was incredibly lucky to work with very, very open-minded performers.
Okay.
So, you know, they were totally into experimental music, and that was their main focus. So they were open, you know, they were open to experiment. So I would meet with them, and together we decided what was, you know, how their sound was going to be processed. So there were little by little, basically what happened is that the scores didn't have any reason for being, you know what I mean? Like, because more and more it became sort of like a very loose composition with the structure. And eventually I didn't use performers anymore, and I started performing myself.
And what about, since you have a background with the piano and keyboard, a lot of people know electronic music by this keyboard, you know, kind of fake organ, right? Fake piano. But real electronic music doesn't have to be connected.
No, I'll tell you the truth. I always thought the piano was the worst instrument in the world in electronics. Well, yeah, because even, for example, if you have a violin, or if you have a guitar, or I don't know, a wind instrument, the pitch is not so fixed. But with piano, you are stuck, you know, because an instrument sort of imposes on us a certain set of gestures, let's call it.
Sure.
And the piano is just so conservative in a way, because we are stuck with this, you know, with this tempered, you know, the tempered clavier, right? You know, the
right,
tempered,
right.
I don't know in English. The,
you're talking about the timber.
Yeah, no, what I mean is that the octave is divided into 12 equal parts.
Yes, yes, okay.
You know,
yeah, right.
So for years, I never used the piano at all. But I teach piano just to pay my bills. I have a piano studio. And don't get me wrong, I still love playing the piano.
Yeah.
So what happened was that basically the piano is an unbelievable interface, because I, for my music now, I program, right? I work with Max. So I started using it, not with the sound itself, but as an interface, or super distorted. And curiously now, actually the day before yesterday, I started doing a little bit of music using the piano, the sound of the piano, heavily distorted.
Yeah.
But you can tell that this is a piano, and I don't mind. I must be getting old.
Less younger.
Less young, thank you.
Just less young. No, I think things come in cycles. So, you know, there was a reason why you kind of didn't like it, because it helped you push forward in another direction. And after doing that for a while, now it's okay. You're not threatened anymore by the, like you said, the old way of doing things. One button for one note. It is
totally.
A strange instrument.
Totally. This is, I agree so much with that. Because, you know what, there is room for everything.
Sure.
And I think that when we are younger, there is like a threat in something which is not like edgy enough. So I guess unconsciously I must have felt that all that old world was pushing me down of making new things, whatever. But, you know, thank God for being less young.
Yeah, and we got to admit, you know, rock and roll is not really guitar music. It came to be that, but it came first on the piano. Little Richard, Jerry Lee Lewis, yeah. You know, and because you can have almost a whole band, right? You got your bass up with the left, you got your treble with the right. You can be kind of a one man or one person band, maybe. But I mean, your music, a lot of imagination. You know what I mean? It even gets into the idea, not just pitches, but also the idea of rhythm.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this is very interesting, actually. I love dancing, right?
Right.
And I do like rhythmical music in, you know, if you understand, I don't know, in the traditional sense. So, but always in this, like, more electronic music, I was very careful not to have, you know, like, a steady, something regular going on, et cetera, et cetera. But those are also prejudices, because...
Of course. Everything becomes shtick, right?
If you have, I don't know, again, two frequencies when there is the natural beating, this is a regular beat, and it comes naturally.
Oscillation.
So, yes, I do sense that I like a sense of working with rhythm, in the sense of working with durations.
Yeah.
Maybe even more than pitches. Now it's more like timbre and durations and then pitch. I don't know. I am very intuitive. I don't really know what I do much.
So maybe some of it's intuitive.
Oh, totally, totally.
It's a feel, right? It's a feel.
But I do intuitive.
Yeah. Maybe it's not so scientific and, you know what I mean, so heavy with method that there's no feeling, right? Cause
you gotta watch out. Not at all. This was a big change. I guess, again, because in the 20th century, okay, like, basically in what people call avant-garde music, in most trends, everything emotional was terribly oppressed and repressed, you know?
Absolutely.
And for me, the big discovery, and I guess I was repressing it myself without being aware, and the big change that I did, I guess, from my the mid-40s, like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, is to just... And it did have an influence when I started seeing noises and things like this, which were so emotional. I loved it. I still do with all my heart, because it combined a sonic material that was for me very, very, very attractive, very appealing, plus a very raw emotionality. You know what I mean? So it was very interesting because I didn't know anything. It was just pure ignorance. I was in academic environment, you know, with all that type of music. It's not total because little by little I started being aware of other things. But when I moved here and discovered more like noise and all that, I was, and I still am, enchanted by all that because I think it's so powerful. Again, on the two realms, sonically, incredibly interesting and attractive, and it has the power of communicating so strongly because it is so emotional.
Yeah, yeah, I'm totally in that ballpark, in that universe, I should say. That's such a great way to, because it's a flexible way of understanding music, and like you say, not having prejudice. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, March 18, 2021, Dishwa Pedro Show special guest, Drea Pensado. Hold tight for hour two. March 18, 2021, second hour of the Wap for Pedro Show. I don't know.
Thank you.
For Pedro, shall we start off the second hour with Sol en Fuga Menor, Andrea Pensado. Then Network Glass from Baltimore, 1A. This guy, Dor, he calls his music Network Glass, and I hear some parallels to your stuff in a way. He's amazing for me. You know, it really makes me evaluate these ideas of pitch and rhythm. You know, it's interesting. Oh, and I love you, Tonto. Andrea Pensado. I think a lot of his stuff, let's talk about the process. Do you get sounds and then spend time with editing?
No. In general, I try to synthesize something. It's hard to tell. Again, as I said, so I work, the main tool I use is Max, right?
Right.
And I'm not a programmer at all. You know, I don't have a background in programming. Like, my background was, again, conventional.
Right.
So I started to learn how to synthesize. You know, I don't know, granular music, wave shaping, and all that. You know what? I think that because I am not the best programmer in the world, I think that I found my own ways of doing things that appeal to me. I would never show it to a good programmer, but I like it, so it's good enough for me.
So
I do use, I like using, for example, in I Love You Tanto, I use some samples from a group, a rock group from Argentina. And I do use recordings from other things, but they go through, let's say, my synthesizer. Put it this way.
Your processing.
Yeah, my processing, yeah.
Okay. What about the rhythm by, moving things around? In the old days, they had to cut tape, right?
What I don't like in computer music is when you have people, sitting behind their laptops and you don't know what's going on. Okay, it's like Zicarelli, one of the ones who did Mark, says you don't know if they are doing their taxes or if they are performing.
hit the space bar.
Exactly. Okay. So I always try to have some controllers which are, which are basically work like instruments, like in the old days.
Sure.
So I try to, that if something is going to change in the sound, I try to map it to a gesture of mine so that I'm not just rigidly sitting behind the laptop.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So I do try to involve the body. There's nothing that I love more than seeing live music. Like seeing, for me, a musician playing.
Yeah, performance.
Something magical.
Yeah, there is.
This is a monk chanting classical music, a rock musician, a jazz musician, noise, whatever. I love it. So I try not to be too much behind the computer, but I have like my little controllers and things, and this is what I use to play. And I never think specifically about rhythm. It's just a consequence of whatever I am doing. I honestly, Mike, I don't know.
That's okay.
Yeah, it just
I think it's okay not to know, because if you maybe sometimes when we think we know too much, we end up limiting ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Mystery, possibility, yeah. So I want to play No Es Peor Ser Cínicos.
Ya en la antigua Grecia, Diógenes se preguntaba dónde están los hombres. Y los buscaba por el ágora con una linterna. Y la cosa no ha cambiado demasiado. Aunque ahora la cuestión es cómo encontrarlos. Porque de hecho, ya no sabemos hablar. Así es. Y nos quedamos sin lenguaje. Todos lo sabemos desde hace rato. Repito. Nos quedamos sin lenguaje. Pero no actuamos en consecuencia. O sea, el asunto es encontrar a los hombres. Por ahora están escondidos. Pero son ellos los únicos que nos pueden salvar.
Aquí tenemos a inteligencia. Inteligencia patagüesa. Se acerca erudición. Elude la marca. De agudeza. Sarcasmo se la pasa. Corte pasto de detenerse. Pongamos en práctica de una vez por todas la antigua erudición. Solo después de atragantarnos con la propia mierda, volveremos a poder hablar. Pregunta. ¿Qué hay de estúpido en la inocencia? ¿No es peor ser cínicos?
Don't rap. Nos gusta todo el mundo, nos gusta eso. Una vez, como decía, no. Pues así el asunto, no. Zodid Noxra. Arrora Ropse. Pero que yo te digo, le metió la mano adentro. Le metió la mano. No mojose. Juro que no, creo que yo con el vino. Arrano, tose, que no se ote. Zodid será. ¿Qué es lo que pasa? Que yo era puta, no. Yo te digo, que no se ote. No mojose, que será. No, que se me ote. De.
Thank you.
the inn is. Oh, the inn is an image. Oh, an image. Ah, and it is on it. It recognizes it. It's in it. It's on the M. It's on the M. It's on the
Oh, I
For Pedro Show. No es peor ser cínicos. Andrea Pesado. And after that, the dual decibel system with Calm. And finally, The Joy of Falling. Andrea Pesado. You know, one thing, well, you did mention, you said when you were a girl, you liked to sing a lot. And then when you, last time we were talking, you said, you were describing your controllers when you perform. But you also wear a headset. Your voice is important to your compositions.
Oh, yeah, the voice is, became very, very important. It's the most important, I guess. It's interesting because I guess it's the most important, but I don't practice it or I don't work with it. The thing that makes me work and sit is all the electronics, right?
Right.
And the voice, well, I do have like my way of processing it, but that is purely intuitive. So, but it is, I guess, the thing that feels the performance the most. Definitely.
Yeah. Now, you know about there's a tradition in jazz singing called scat.
Yes.
No real words, right?
Yes. No real. Yes, everything is just.
It's just sounds and rhythm, right?
Yeah.
But it's using the voice.
Yeah.
You use this, right?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I never, very, very, I would say 1%, 2% of times when I perform, I might have a poem or some words with meaning.
Parabolas. Yeah.
But 98% of the time, there's no meaning at all. It's just the sounds and whatever I'm doing.
Yeah, and the rhythm. And then you wear the headset, so your hands are free to control the other stuff, right?
Exactly. It's so funny with that headset. Like lately, I had one live streaming, and a friend was looking, and I said, "You look like a customer service person."
Yeah.
And I do. But the thing is that I need the headset to have free hands to play the thing.
Absolutely. Because you're like a one-lady orchestra.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, in a trippy way. Now, you know, the first two things I played, the second and third thing I played, it was from something called Voice Studies.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I think it was right here in Truth and Trust.
Yes.
So, explain that.
There was Econora Records is a label in Germany.
Yeah.
And they, it was the beginning of the pandemic, and they were doing a series for just with a vocal series. And he asked me if I could do, you know, like two tracks around 5 minutes long. And I said, yes, sure. And I did those two, you know, like, they are pretty raw. I don't remember even much, but, again, I think the beginning of the pandemic was so raw for everybody, I think. That somehow is trust, that feeling is in the music.
Yeah, it's a product of the situation.
Yeah. But again, you know, we have to, I think the titles say a lot because...
I was going to ask you that. When do they come? Do they come at the end or do they come at the beginning?
No, at the end.
At the end, okay.
Never at the beginning.
Well, so, I ask you that, Andrea, because I have to start with the title.
That is so interesting.
Hardly anybody I know does it that way. The titles are almost always last, because that's why I ask. And especially with instrumental music or using the voice, like, you know, without parabolas and as sounds. Titles can look, you know, like John Coltrane calling that song Alabama. I mean, it just... Well, he said he was phrasing his horn like Dr. King, but just that title, it gives it a whole other dimension in a way.
Absolutely, yeah.
Especially somebody new to your music or something, you know, all they know is the title, right, until they hear.
Yeah.
It's the one, like, kind of anchor.
Yeah. I like titles a lot. I like putting titles to things. I don't know. I like it. I don't record much. I perform, well, now with the pandemic, yes, this year I recorded quite a lot, like, for me.
Yeah.
But in general, I perform quite a lot, and when I feel that I have something, I sit down to record.
Okay.
But I'm not, you know, like, super prolific with the recordings. That's how I am.
And actually, live performance, the title, much less significant.
Oh, yeah.
You know, some people, they'll tell you the name of the song before they play it. But a lot of people, they just go through their set list, right? The set list, the titles are for them to know, to cue which.
Oh, yeah. I never put titles when I perform, ever.
Right. Okay. So they're different worlds in a way.
Yeah, exactly. It's like totally different.
Right. We're at the end of the second hour, March 18, 2021. What Peter, so special guest, Andrea Pensado. Hold tight for our feet. March 18, 2021. It's third hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
We can make it.
For Peter, our show, start off the third hour, Delusional Studies number one, Andrea Pensado, Crane with Make Our Wishes Come True, and finally, Andrea Pensado, Cortajeados?
Cortajeados.
So, people off air, we were discussing some things about, because Andrea don't like to record that much, but what about the idea of recording live? And you enlightened me to some stuff. Why don't you tell the people, Andrea?
Well, I am terrible with recordings. I do have a Zoom that I bring to shows. I have a Zoom that almost never bring to shows, and when I bring it many times, I forget to press play.
Or record, record.
Yeah, exactly, to record. But I do like, I have some releases where I include like one track of a live performance. So I just have one track recorded live and the other ones just done here at home.
Okay.
But in general, as I said, I don't know. I always say I should record more, but never do it. Maybe in the next decades I will do more.
Now, when you do record, you do it in your own pad. You don't go to a studio, right?
Exactly. I do it at home.
I really like this idea. I find more and more musicians recording themselves. And the gap between the performer and the recorder is getting smaller.
Yes. No, I like it. And the truth is that here at home, when I am working on something and I am trying to develop something, I do record myself quite a lot. So, but I don't release it. You see what I mean? I don't have the need to have one release after the other.
Yeah, sure,
it's
sure.
Because it's just for me, you know. It's like...
Well, it's a library, maybe ideas you can go back to?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I had, you know what? I was very, very, very lucky all my life with people I have met.
Right.
And when I was in Poland, at the beginning, I had a composition a professor. She was a woman. And she, you know, and we became pretty close. He died quite young, actually. It was like a sad story. Her name was Barbara Buczek. B-U-C-Z-V-E-K. And she said, Andrea, basically, life and music is like a shell that, you know, is like a curve which goes, we go and revisit the same things over and over, but from a wider perspective. And I do find myself in some things doing that. That I say, oh, wait a second, this is what I was doing like 10 years ago. But it's not the same, because it has the twist of the 10 years that passed.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the same thing with, think about writing. You're always using the same 26 letters, but you can create all kinds of different stories.
Totally, yeah. Totally, yeah.
So the life is about a lot of repetition, but it's the way, yeah, you express it.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, that's part of art.
Yeah.
I want to play this, of course, Argentina, right? So you had to have a tango, right? So this is tango, Tangos Alegres.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm a happy tango. Okay.
Yeah.
For Pedro Show, Andrea Pensado with Tangles Alegres Plus, Durian Bra with part two of three of their Music Shape Whole, this big piece. And again, I find parallels with your music, Andrea. And I love it, man.
Thank you.
It's Bannon Zach going to it. Andrea Pensado finally with Katodum. Did I pronounce that right? Katodum?
Which word? I don't know.
K-T-O-T-A-M.
Say that again?
K-T-O-T-A-M.
Ah, totem.
So you don't pronounce the K. The K silent. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now tell me about your pop. And because everybody knows that Argentina is the home of tango.
Yeah. So my dad used to love tango, and I didn't like it at all. I hate it. But when I moved here, at the beginning, I worked almost 2 years in a place called the Tango Catalog, and they sold instructional videos how to dance tango. Yes. And they had a huge tango collection of CDs. You know, people would call to know what CDs they had to buy in order to dance. And I had no idea. So they gave us a training. And you know what? It was an acquired taste. Now I like it a lot.
Oh, wow.
Because before for me, everything was the same. But eventually, I said, Andrea, no, it's not the same. This is just because I didn't know what I was hearing. Right. So once I got to know everything, now I enjoy it a lot, to my surprise, even tango.
Yeah, so you find that when a simplistic view of something, and then you find the nuances, it can be really interesting. Because, like, I really believe music is music. And genre is, you know, it's just ridiculous. And so there's different ways to do it. I toured with Tab Falco, and he learned tango. He went to Buenos Aires to learn from the, you know, the masters and stuff. And this guy's from Arkansas, okay, and lived a long time in Memphis. But that's the thing about arts. It can take you to a place that maybe you never imagined.
Exactly.
Or like you didn't even like it.
Yeah. Well, noise, for me, it's so funny that I love noise, because it's like, I don't know, but I'm lucky, you know.
Sure. Well, the whole idea of noise, you know, is strange, because, right, that's one person's noise might be another person's, you know, pure sound or something.
Totally.
And so it's subjective, right? Yeah.
I'm sorry if I am... So, because there is an anecdote that they asked Cage what is noise. And he said like this, if you are chatting with a friend in a bar and in the background you have the Fifth Symphony by Beethoven and it's bothering you, well, that is noise.
Good point. Excellent point.
Exactly. You know,
What impressed you about noise was... Because you were feeling a coldness with some of this modern electronic music, and then when you saw these, more pioneer type of people, you know, bring in the noise, you liked the passion in the performance.
Totally. Yeah. But sonically, too.
Yeah, sonically, too.
Yeah, both of them.
It made quite an impression on you, see?
Yeah. So, and I think it's maybe, I don't know, this is just, you know, like a theory, or random theory. But the truth is that it's very difficult to deal with emotions.
Sure.
You know? It's much easier to have like a colder approach and everything under control than to let go.
Right.
So, I like noise so much because they are, again, I am repeating myself, because the work they do in sound is not naive at all. But maybe now that people, you know, I don't know, some almost, I don't know, 80 years, 70 years past of abstract work with electronics. So it was time already. It was not so new. And it's sort of like we were ready to put the emotions into it. Yeah. You know what I mean? At the very beginning, I guess it must have been so shocking to be working with electronics that people, it's like one thing at a time, you know?
Sure.
But obviously all this is super, nobody thinks in these terms. It's easy to analyze once things are done. Like in the heat of the moment, everything is intuitively, I think.
Yeah, and very personal.
It's super.
The experience, Where can people find you on the internet?
AndreaPensado.com.
Okay.
And I do have a SoundCloud. Which
you probably have links there, right? So, AndreaPensado.com, people.
Correct.
You gotta check out her music. I mean, I've played a lot on the show, and I've played lots before, and I'm gonna play more in the future. You're gonna put out more. You've been spending a lot of time, right? Like you were saying, maybe more recording.
Yeah. I do have some things coming, and I am planning to do more. So that is definitely something in my list to do.
That's great. You know, because especially when I was a young Minuteman, you know. I thought records were ridiculous, too, that everything should be in the moment in gigs. You know, this was the 70s part of punk movement. But then later on, you know what? Those things are little documents. I'm glad we did do some. But we used to think they were only flyers for the shows, but they're actually little documents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm glad we did them. They just didn't go away into the
air. Yeah, good point. Definitely.
Yeah. I learned that becoming less younger. Thank you so much for being on the show. It's a huge honor for me to have you aboard.
No, thank you. It's an honor for me. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. People, March 18, 2021, just watch Pedro. So keep your powder dry.